Welcome to the Swarmcast, an episodic look at the Southwest Ohio regional meta and the players within. We have tourney players, casual locals, gifted hobbyists, and many more. So come join us down the rabbit hole of Warmer Hordes in the southwest corner of the Buckeye State. Your hosts are Jerry Stonecipher, Aaron Jones, and myself, Mike Corkill. Hey guys, just wanted to step in here real quick. I'm editing episode 3 and realized that the file that we're working with was corrupted. So here we are on episode 4, and I hope you enjoy it.
And welcome to the Swarmcast. Here we are again, episode number 3. I've got Jerry and Aaron with me.
Am I loud enough?
Oh God, don't go so loud. What's wrong with you? Silly, silly boy.
We were checking levels. I had to be sure.
Yep. So here we are again, episode 3. We've got a few subjects that we're going to talk about. And again, this is about the Southwest Ohio regional meta. Actually, no, this is number 4. Thank you, Jonesy.
No
number
problem.
Number 4.
But you're allowed to talk now?
Yeah, you're allowed to talk now.
Okay.
So, let's talk about games played. So, past week, did you play any games, Jonesy?
No, I did not.
Bad.
Yes, I admit it. I was wiped out from work and lifestyle, so.
Jerry?
I didn't get any games in. Other aspects of my social life decided to take priority and wasn't able to make it out to play any games.
Oh, man. Well, I got some games in.
Hey!
I got 3 games in over Origins for the OWC qualifier.
Oh, we got stories to tell, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Stories to tell. First one, an OWC qualifier is qualifying for the Ohio Warmer Hordes Championship. So we have basically a state championship. And I got to play against 3 really cool guys. My opponents were Chuck Collins, Scott Stromquist, and David Pennington. I played into Chuck first round, get the hardest guy in the group. Not just for play skill wise, but you know, Chuck is Chuck. Got him bottom of 2 with an Angry Bird Slam into his caster. So to kind of set it up, he had Gatsby 3. I was playing Una 2. And he had possession where he was threatening me and pretty much destroyed most of my army. Left me with 2 birds and a pure blood, my caster, and some of my infantry, along with my wayfarers.
Hmm.
So it was a rough match, and this was at the top of 2 that he did this. So when I got into bottom of 2, I looked at the table and saw that he had a slayer that was right in front of Gatsby at the 12-inch mark, and pretty much set it up where I slammed the Slayer into Gatsby, get over to Gatsby, and beat up Gatsby. Thank you, Edge, for playing that match with me previously, so I was able to recognize that. Edge really did a good job of prepping me for that one. This 9 Slayers Gatsby 3 list is a bear.
I had an idea like that years ago. It was terrible at the time.
Now it's great. The theme list does so much for it. Carapace on Slayers, really. Ugh. Unyielding on top of that. So, Unyielding, you go from armor 17 to armor 19. Carapace, what is it? Armor 23 against, armor 21 against guns?
All my terrible ideas are good now.
Yeah, it's strange.
Just put in a whole new world from Aladdin here?
Yeah.
All right.
And then my second round I played Scott, and he was playing Sorsha 1. I played Kruger 2 and messed up my order of activations on my initial threat. So my initial caster run had me getting a warden TK'd forward so I could slam Beast 09 into Sorsha and then have the Celestial Fulcrum just shoot her to death. And I messed up, got too crazy on trying to shoot some guys off of Megalith and spent too much focus and left me on one.
Oops.
So I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to feat now just to save myself. So I did that, and I was expecting Scott to move over to my extreme right to get away from the assassination, because I was thinking that he saw what I was trying to do. Well, he, to his credit, he didn't realize that you don't drift when you throw it directly away. So he thought that when you throw it directly away, the model drifts, and, you know, just like Mark II. But Mark III is, you throw it directly away, it doesn't drift, it just lands. And so Beast 09 was so close to Sorsha that pretty much I just grabbed him and threw him directly away, landed on Sorsha, and right on top of Sorsha, and Kruger stepped up and said, I hit you with my first shot and kill you. And if I need to take my next two shots, it's a sustained attack, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's already knocked down to begin with, so.
Exactly. So it was insult to injury. And then I played David, and pretty much I lost to Thyra, double Adrian's. His dice went really hot at the end and just started killing things that he didn't have a right to kill. But his dice were just so hot that I was like, oh, crap, I can't do anything about it.
Adrian's will kill things more than people think.
Yeah. Adrian's will kill things, but it's the fact of hitting death 15 birds consistently without having to sit and aim.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Yeah. So I lost a total of 4 birds over 2 turns with that.
Mm.
And it's like, oh. So it wasn't my time. I got second. Had a really good field of 9 players to play with, so my first 2 games were great. My last game, pretty much dice. My dice did not roll as well as I wanted them to, but that's the way it is with me. But it was his dice that just went crazy. And, I mean, he was moving Adrian's around and hitting death 15 like it was nothing. I was sad. I was very, very sad. But it is what it is. But I got some good games in. And so this week, the 23rd is coming up, and we don't have any games between now and then. I am going to be playing Brock tomorrow.
Sure you are.
Well, it depends on Brock coming up here. But I took a half day tomorrow, so pretty much between 1 and 5, I've got some table time available, so I'm going to try and get Brock over here.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to know there's going to be a blue moon tomorrow.
I know. I mean, we'll get Dodger on here. But yeah, so that's the only game I have planned other than getting to next Tuesday. I missed this past Tuesday because of home stuff. You know, being married with kids does that.
Yes, it does.
And then after that is the OWC qualifier in Springfield. So I'm going to be playing. Are either one of you going to join and play with us?
What date is that?
The 30th, Saturday. You can do it.
I think I'll commit to that.
I know I should. I need to score away a few more parts of my personal life that are now blooming and figure. And if I'm free that day, yeah, I'll probably come up.
All right. So if you're going to sign up for it, we got to go to the OWC group and sign up through the event. I'm doing it through Conflict Chamber. I got to thank Dave from Conflict Chamber to help us. We had a bug that we had to deal with, but we got that all squared away. And it's nice because everyone's going to put their list in ahead of time. And then all I have to do for Jake is print out the sheets and then he can run it.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you guys get any hobby stuff done?
I actually have I've moved my hobby desk downstairs and gathered all my paints. So now it's just a matter of, as well as a bunch of my models. So I'll be starting to paint Gorman, Hutchuck, and my 3 Rocketeer ladies.
Nice.
In preparation for Wave 1 of Crucible Guard coming out.
So when do you actually get that? Is that going to be...
It comes out on the 10th. It is the first little wave, which consists of the big box the big army box, and Locke, the caster.
Yeah. Did you see Pagani's...
I did, and that made me real sad.
Yeah.
Pretty much the box, they are breaking from the tradition they've been doing, and instead of having full kits for the two jacks, it's going to be the bits for the two individual jacks.
Yeah.
I looked forward to magnetizing effectively six of those things so I could run any combination of heavies I needed. But now it's going to look like I'm going to have two of each.
Well, that's not too hateful. I mean, it is better to have it magnetized and do all that.
It is.
But, you know, sometimes things happen.
I just feel like they kind of dropped the ball on that one because that box had the potential of Merc players going and buying that box because they got two Tauros. They got four units they could take.
Yeah.
In theme. So I feel like they kind of lost money there by not going with the tradition that they've been going with.
Yeah.
Because those Merc players would have loved to have gotten two Tauros out of it.
Oh, yeah. So, Jonesy, do you get any more assembly done, or we're at painting stage? Which one are you?
I was able to pick up Xerxes 2, which I think is going to become my new Beastcaster for the Beast Brick. And...
See, he's handy able.
Yes.
He got injured, and he said, forget this. I'm going to get back into the fight. Give me a Rhino.
This will only make me stronger. Couple other solos put together, and I've started work on the Hydra, which has an incredible number of pieces. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not look at that model before buying it?
I mean, I saw the model, but usually I'm used to the old stuff where we'd be like, here's the body, here's five heads, maybe here's a tail piece. Done.
Well, let's not forget the old stuff you're talking about includes halberdiers and Nis.
Yeah.
Miss pain in the butt.
I'm not used to this newfangled stuff with the plastics.
So you got Xerxes, have you started putting them together?
Oh yeah, Xerxes, his big double stick broke off of his hand, so I gotta figure out a nice skinny pin to fit in there to fix that.
Yeah.
Green stuff.
And then just stick him on his base and he's all assembled. Even the little tassels.
Little tassels are nice.
Those little tassels were a pain when I put Xerxes 2 together.
Piece of cake? Apparently
more of finding out where they go, because they didn't have very good instructions when I first got him, and I got him at Gen Con pre-release.
Was he on the website?
No, I was at Gen Con.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty much you probably got him in the brown box.
I got him in the brown box before he even got his official packaging. It was great.
So what I got had no actual instructions, but pro tip, if you're not like Jerry getting it brand new, go to their website. If you're lucky, they'll have the gallery, the 360-degree view.
Yeah.
You can kind of look at it. Like, I had these little bits of skin. I thought, this looks like a weird elbow or something. And they're like, oh, it's ears.
Oh, those pieces, yes.
So just keep looking at it, and you turn it and figure out exactly how they go.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
It helps out. I know when I bought my wife's Old Witch 3, I got it in the brown box with just a label slapped on it. And,
good wrap. Luck.
And I looked at it and go, okay, this is going to be a fun model to put together. And then I got wrapped up in a whole bunch of other things, and I haven't even put that together yet. So, you know, I know how the brown box from Gen Con is. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it there this year. Just, I spent way too much up in Canada, but I had so much fun.
Canada was fun.
So, I, hobby stuff. I am, if you hear that, that is my box of Holloman. That's the last unit I have to put together for Grimkin.
Will you be picking up Hollow Holden when he comes out?
I am trying to find... I've got a couple people in from the Swamp Grabbers group that are going out to Indy, and I'm going to see if I can have give them like $20 to Ninja it for me.
Well, don't forget I'm going there also, so...
Well, you're going... It should be at Lock and Load.
Ah, you're talking about going to Lock and Load.
I'm talking about them going to Lock and Load.
Yeah, he should be there at Lock and Load.
Yeah. Because I just need to get him, because I looked at his rules the other night, and I'm like, wow... This is kind of interesting.
I'm a little sad with the way that the whole coin flip thing. I wish it was just on one turn you choose one ability and you cannot choose the same ability in two turns in a row. Because you know that you're that one moment where it's like, you know, I could really use reposition three. You get weaken instead.
Yeah.
And you're going against a bunch of jacks.
Yeah. Well, I kind of look at it and I sit there and I like the randomness. I really do. I'm the guy that sits there and likes to, you know, inflict decks of many things on my players and go, hey, roll a die. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
But the fact of the unit getting Pathfinder innately is really nice.
It is, and him having Prowl when you attach the UA who gives the unit concealment is really nice as well.
Yeah. The funny thing is he's got a lot of stuff that is just for him, and then some stuff for the unit. And it's like, wait a minute,
well, how does all this work? Here's the thing, also for other models in the faction, let's not forget the fact he has Sniper.
Yeah.
Which means he goes right up to that caster or that nice little character that your opponent has. And with Rat 7, good chance, with Rat 7 and Apparition, good chance he might be able to stand still and aim and go to Rat 9 and bink, put that one little point into it, so Lord Longfellow can then come up and get his full 3 dice to hit, 4 dice damage on both shots.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, putting them together. So I can't wait to get him. But I'll have all my Holloman put together, and I have 4 units of Gremlin Swarms that I've got to work on. 3 of them I've got to put together. 1 I just have to do the base, because that's the one that I got from my Secret Santa from Jake. But the other 3 I'm going to cannibalize some jacks and put them on the base to make them a little bit more descriptive and, you know, pop out a little bit more.
Another fun thing you can do if you don't want to put them with the Battle Engine. Battle Engine comes with, I think, 3 or 4 Gremlins playing instruments.
Yep.
You can throw those on there on a few of the bases just to make them even more distinct.
Yeah.
I've seen some people just take all 3 or 4 and just put them on a base and say they're Gremlin Swarms. You can't deny they're Gremlin Swarms.
Yeah. I've been thinking about what I'm going to do with those guys. I've got to put a mispack thing into a PP because I'm missing a drummer's arm.
Oh no!
So
little drummer boy only has one arm, huh?
Yeah, but hey, man, the drummer from Def Leppard did an awesome job with one arm. So
we're talking about a human compared to a gremlin here. So
gremlins are awesome.
I don't think the gremlins' music was great with 2 arms.
Yeah, but no. The cool thing is I have, as soon as I get them put together, I'm not even waiting. I'm just taking them out here to my porch and just primering them right then and there. That way that when I want to start painting, I can start painting. I got paint on my 2 Witchwood models already, so they're getting done. Right now I'm doing like, hey, I got 15 minutes or 30 minutes. Let's put some paint on a model. And slowly going that way. I'll paint brown for 15 minutes. Sometimes when you don't have time to paint, that's the way you get stuff painted. Just give a couple minutes, go, hey, I'm going to paint.
Yeah, my 2 Witchwoods, I have one that's going to be more the traditional bark and wood, and just that traditional brown bark. The other one I'm actually doing up like a birch tree, where it's the white bark.
Yeah. The one I have, I've got one with, I think, light brown, almost with a lot of orange in it. I forget what the PP color is. That I am going to dry brush with a darker bark color. And then I have another one that is got Bastion Grey on it, which is like a brown gray, that I'm going to dry brush with that white or really light gray color over top of it, just to play around with dry brushing and all that. So next segment, let's go ahead and go into that. So Jonesy,
yes,
you have goals, or we need to have you have goals. Obviously, number one is get games played.
Yes, job one.
Job one, get games played. But I was thinking about kind of like achievements, you know, playing consoles and computer games right now. You know, there's so many achievements you can get. I was thinking about, you know, saying, hey, Jonesy, think about an achievement that you can start working on with your army. So is there one rule that on your army that you look at that you're just like, I don't know how to use it, or I don't know, you know, what it's good for, or anything like that? Because I know for, you know, experience-wise, we've got Brock. I have him doing 10 jumping jacks or 10 squats every time he misses his apparition move. Or he forgets about apparition. If he acknowledges that this model has apparition, he's just not going to use it. That's fine. But if he sits there and goes throughout the whole turn and goes, oh crap, I forgot the apparition, our meta, and now on this podcast it's official that Brock's going to have to do 10 jumping jacks or 10 squats when he misses his apparition trigger. Now, for me, I play Gremlin Swarms. I know they have apparition, but there are some times where I go, I don't need that 2 inches with them or I'm going to get them killed.
Honestly, that 2 inches you always want to remember, because chances are your opponent's not. And they're going to leave that jack within 8 inches of that Gremlin Swarm.
Oh, yeah.
I always love those moments of, oh, you left it within 8 inches. Thank you for allowing me to be able to get sabotage off.
Yeah.
Wait, now, what?
Granted, 90% of the time, well, actually, I've never used sabotage on a jack.
I use it constantly.
I've always just sat there and went, haha, here's a Gremlin Swarm, stealth, incorporeal. I'm going to sit on the zone forever.
I will do that against Horde's armies. I will do that against lists that are running a lot of infantry and not a lot of jacks. When I'm going against a jack spam list, oh, those Gremlin Swarms do work.
Yeah.
It's nuts being able to do D3 plus 3 damage to a column of your choice.
Oh, yeah.
I took out with the help of 2 Gremlin Swarms and a Skin and Bones, I took out a Devout standing next to a Castigator.
Mm-hmm.
On Durst feet turn.
Wow.
Managed to, before the Skin and Bones even got in, walk up the 2 Gremlin Swarms and took out the shield arm.
Nice.
So just left the Skin and Bones just to lop it in half at that point.
Yeah.
Had a boost because I still needed 7s because I was right next to that Castigator, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one thing I'm going to have to learn once I start playing these Grimkin is using them for more than just a 3-point flag sitter or a zone sitter. Because that's what they are for in my list. It says, hey, I'm going to sit on a flag all day long.
Yep.
You're not going to mess with me.
Yeah, being able to look across the way from a... you're gonna see a difference in your tactics when going from only having 1 Gremlin Swarm to 4.
So that's one achievement that I'm gonna add to myself when I start playing Grimkin is Gremlins tearing apart jacks. That's one I'm definitely gonna add to myself. So what do you think, Jones? What do you have one to add for you?
To build off of playing more games, I definitely want to get Xerxes with the Hydra in a game, preferably Tuesday, and prep for the OWC. I think that'd be fun. Xerxes is cavalry. I've always had a hard time with the cavalry rules.
They simplified it a lot in this edition. Well, they got rid of a lot of the weird rules that you had, like tall in the saddle, and other rules like that. It is very simple now. They've removed the reposition portion of that. I forget what it was called for cavalry. But they've moved it into just calling it reposition, right, and it's no longer part of the cavalry rule.
Ride by attack.
No, right. They also got rid of ride by attack.
Yeah.
They
got rid of a lot. So cav rules are a lot simpler. So let's say that pretty much you're playing Xerxes, you're going to play the Hydra.
I'm going to try and pull off a trample attack with Xerxes.
Okay, trample. Trample is a very good one. So. It is. Trample and then cav rules, play with those a little bit more.
Yep.
Just one thing, and remember, Xerxes is big and tanky, but he's still a warcaster, so depending on what you're going up against, you might get him killed, but that's how
he's a warlock. He's a warlock with a gargantuan in the list.
Yeah.
That's a lot of boxes you gotta eat through.
True. Very true.
A +2 speed gargantuan.
that too, that you can throw rush onto.
Yes.
But how much fear does he have?
5, I believe.
5?
He has 5, yes.
So, don't do too much work. So just do enough work.
Well, here comes Markath.
Just do enough work so you sit on at least 2 transfers.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually the golden rule about hordes is if you can sit on 2 transfers, you're somewhat safe. I mean, you're still, you know, in danger. I mean, if you're sitting on a stack of like 5 or 6, you're great. But if you're sitting there on 2, you're somewhat safe.
That's always fun watching your opponent. It's like when you're sitting on 2 or 3, your opponent goes through his turn and like, and Cash is in a really risky position. It's like, thank you for killing that beast. I'm going to take that Fury now.
Yep.
Or in this case, because I was running Child. Oh, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and pop Wrath so I get +1 Fury.
Yeah.
And now at the end of this turn, before you even go into me, I am now sitting on a stack of 8.
Yep. Yeah, I can't wait to start playing with that. Plus the fact that it's King of Nothing, Child, and Old Witch 3 in the Champions ADR that's going to be coming out.
Which makes me so happy because I made my pairing before that even came out.
Yeah, so pretty much I'm probably going to not go with Dreamer and go with those two. That way I can play
the Champions. The one thing, I need to double check this, but I heard it through the mill. I need to actually look at the Champions format rules. I think both lists cannot have the same tier list.
Right.
So I do need to tweak. I'm probably going to take my Old Witch 3 list back into Bump in the Night and run my list that I ran at OTC. But Child? Oh, Child stay in Dark Menagerie.
Well, see, I've looked and read a lot, and I think that the idea of Champions is really going to be nice for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Is because it really limits the amount of casters that you have to think about. I mean, we're getting to a point in the game where we're almost at 200 casters that we're trying to figure out and what they do. And
there are almost times where I look now at Champions and, like, to me, that feels more like a great beginner's format than an actual expert's format. Because that way the beginners now can just be like, I only have to worry about learning these models of my opponents.
Yeah.
And I only have to worry about those models. Great.
Yeah. Which is nice. I mean, granted, you have stuff like Grimkin, who pretty much have their whole faction except for 2 casters. 3 casters?
3 casters. Because there is the 5 Defiers and Old Witch.
Yeah. So, I mean, but still, it's good that you can sit there and go, okay, instead of 100 or 200 casters, so let's pare that down to, 4 per faction times 14? So that's 28, 56 casters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot better than trying to memorize 200 casters. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's where I'm going to start with Grimkin, is start with Child, Old Witch, go from there. And then once I get enough games under my belt, then I'll probably start going out into, like, Dreamer and King of Nothing and just try some different stuff out. So that's going to be my achievement is, you know, number one, playing with Gremlin Swarms and Wrecking a Jack. I'm going to try that. And then I'm going to also try playing a Champions pair as my main pair and see how well I do in events and just casual play as well.
The fun thing about using Gremlin Swarms and use the Sabotage ability is your opponent's face when you remind them that it did not go corporeal because that was not an action.
Yeah.
Or that was an action, not an attack.
Yeah. I looked at that the other day. I'm like, that is not an attack.
No.
That means I'm still in... What?
Yep.
So that's a good thing to have. So that means you can sit there and move around as needed. So now we're going to add the next segment, which is Tilt's List. So Jerry here, who's our resident sus, wants to sit there and challenge himself, and we want to challenge him. So the idea is we give him a maligned or not used unit, solo, model, whatever it is, and we challenge him to make a list around it, and then he's going to play it via proxy for, what, 3 to 5 games?
Probably a good idea to go with 3 to 5 games.
Yeah. So he's going to play for 3 to 5 games, and then he'll report back and tell us if, A, his ideas worked, what ideas didn't work, and what he thought of it. So we're going to go ahead and start off with the first unit. It's going to start off with Retribution and the much maligned Mage Hunter Infiltrators.
Yep.
So we'll start out first with, let's talk about the unit itself. So I'll bring it up here on my war room. So Mage Hunter Infiltrators, they are a unit with Speed 7, Strength 6, Mat 6, Rat 4, Def 14, Arm 11, Command 8. They have Pathfinder, Stealth, they're small base models. They have 2 blades that are blessed, and they have Gang. So this is what Jerry has to work with. Min unit is 8 points, and a max unit is 13 points. The attachments that could be added to them is Iris 3, Mage Hunter Commander. And then he could also add Solus Escort, which is a weapon attachment. So, Jerry, do you have a list already specced out, or what are we looking at?
I think I have a list specced out. It's not one that's going to be optimal. This is more just, I'm not going down the easy route here.
Okay.
So for the caster, you'd immediately think, oh, just go with Alara, the Death Shadow.
Yeah.
She gives them Boundless Charge on feet turn. She
Ghostly?
Yeah, she gives them Ghostly while they're doing this. She also has Marked for Death to give them a hit bonus. And you can throw Scything Touch on one of the models to get a to break armor better.
Yeah,
that sounds too good.
Exactly. So what did I do? I went ahead and looked for another caster that maybe will make them shine overall.
Okay.
But will at least help them in an aspect or two.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the big guy himself. Thyron, Sword of Truth.
Thyron! Okay, so we've got Thyron, Focus 6. And he's got stuff that helps his army, so yep. Let's go through it. What do you got?
So the things that's going to help make the Infiltrator shine is he does have... let's see here. I'm trying to remember if they have it or not. Right. He does have Spell Piercer, so while they do have Blessed already, he now gives them Magical.
Right.
If he wants to throw Storm Rager on one of the random models, he can. There are better targets, such as himself, for some of the solos.
Yeah.
In this list. But his feet is where you'll actually get a lot of work out of him. He provides them Sidestep, which the unit has Gang. So yeah. You can get into some weird places with the Gang as a result.
Okay.
And they get an additional die on their melee attack rolls, which when you're... Yes, they're mat 6, go up to mat 8 with Gang. But being able to have an additional die means you're hitting a lot of models that you wouldn't be hitting normally.
Right.
Slash, the models with really high defense, you no longer need Gang for, so you're able to spread out a bit more and kill those things.
Yeah.
Especially with the sidestep. So, really, those are kind of the only things that really, at least on his initial package,
yeah,
that helped them. They already have Pathfinder, so they don't benefit from Onslaught.
Right.
Ground Zero is great for himself, but it doesn't help the unit.
I have never used Ground Zero. I've played casters with Ground Zero, and I've never used Ground Zero, because usually at that point, I'm dead.
And with him, the things he wants to go into... He's better off hitting them with his sword. His POW 13 Weapon Master Sword.
Yeah. He likes to remember that.
Yep. For a battle group, I have... Sorry. Going back. This is all in Shadows of Retribution, which is the only theme list you can take infiltrators in.
Yep.
And I'm not crazy enough to go out of theme. So, his battle group consists of a Banshee, which people always talked about the fact you couldn't take these two and certain theme lists because or the Jack theme because you couldn't take the Banshee.
Yeah.
But with the Banshee, he is able to cast a Sail on him, so now the Momentum Gun gets an extra 2 inches on the slam.
Nice.
So, kind of helps with some mat there if you need it.
Yeah.
Phoenix, just a great beat stick with Arc Nose, so he can throw out his Storm Razor where he needs to.
Yeah.
And lastly, just to fill in points, there is the Aspis for a shield guard. You're dealing with this list, you're dealing with a lot of small base models, and he's a medium base.
Yeah.
You're going to want shield guards to protect him. Even though he goes up to depth 17 versus range, there are people out there that are going to be able to hit that.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of like the breaking point.
Yeah. So having one shield guard is great. I'll get into this some more later.
Okay.
So going on to units, this army consists of 2 max units of infiltrators, of course.
Yep.
Each with a Solas Escort, just to provide that disbinding.
Yep.
In case they get something thrown on them.
Oh, yeah.
And -5 range on spells. Yep. Makes it real nice. Hmm. I also threw in here the Spears of Syra.
Okay.
There's your 3 other shield guards you get in this list.
Yep.
5 hit boxes, but their armor 11.
Yeah.
They have Reposition 3 and Vengeance.
Yep.
Speaking of Vengeance and Reposition 3, I threw Iris 3 into becoming the commander for that unit.
Okay.
Because she grants Reposition 3, so there's doesn't matter at that point. But the fun interaction you get with Iris 3 on these ladies is Vengeance just specifies if one or more models in the unit are destroyed, each model in the unit could advance. So while it does not trigger if Iris is hit, if one of the other 3 ladies is hit with the range attack, Iris now has a Vengeance move.
Yeah.
Which you do not want to give Iris a Vengeance move.
Yeah. And the fact that the unit gains AD.
Yes. The unit also gains AD, which can be important for being able to place them in a really interesting position if you do not need the shield guards for Thyron, because now you have the shield guards for Iris as she's going up the board.
Right. Okay.
As for solos, the 2 free models that I was able to take in this list, I took Narn, because who doesn't love the named Mage Hunter?
Yeah.
Especially when you're able to throw Storm Rager on him.
Yep.
And the other free model I chose was Alara 1. With a harpy attached.
Harpies. Very good.
The harpy thunderbolt shot is nice. Being able to then boost that and possibly knock down the model even better.
Yep.
But just a nice little thing to throw on there that with Alara's speed of death, which is effectively sprint and
his refuge.
And refuge.
Yeah.
All in one. For her entire battle group. So her and the harpy.
Yeah.
And then I threw in, because again, you're running a caster with Storm Rager, 2 Mage Hunter Assassins.
Oh, yes.
Because why not?
I have died to Mage Hunter Assassins more than I would care to admit. I keep pretty much once Mark 2, I would sit there and get taken out by them. So now that we're in Mark 3 and I can pre-measure, those are usually the first models I kill off the table. Mm-hmm. As soon as I can, I do that.
So yeah, that is effectively the list. I did not make the infiltrator shine like I wanted to. But to do that, I'd be going into casters that are quite popular in the meta, and I felt like throwing in a caster that you don't see much, but still shines them up a little bit.
Yeah. So that's your list. You're going to play 3 to 5 games.
Yep.
And then you're going to come back. So how do you expect the list to work?
honestly, I kind of built this with no real plan in mind. So part of these the 3 to 5 games is going to find out, okay, what does this actually play good into? What does it struggle against? I can already tell I'm going to struggle into armor with this list.
Yeah.
If I run into a Jack Spam, I'm not going to be able to do much. The heavy hitters I have in the list are the Banshee, the Phoenix, Thyron himself, and the Mage Hunters.
Okay.
The rest, you're looking at the Infiltrators hitting at best POW 11s.
Yeah.
That's not going to destroy a Jack.
No.
Nope.
Now, I mean, it might hurt a beast, but not a Jack.
Now, to combat that, I could take out a Jack, potentially, and throw in the Mage Hunter Strike Force. But then you run into the issue of the Mage Hunter Strike Force is outshining the Infiltrators at that point.
Right. No, that's understandable. So, 3 to 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty much looking for to see how it does and what it's going to do.
Yep.
Any predictions right now?
I feel like the games I am going to win, I'm going to win on scenario.
Okay.
Hmm.
Because I'm looking at almost every model in this list is speed 7.
Okay.
With a few exceptions, such as Thyron himself, but he's speed 6. The Jax, well, they're all speed 6 as well.
Yeah.
Alara is also speed 6, but the rest, you're looking at the Spears are also speed 6,
right.
And Iris is speed 7. The rest, though,
speed 7, get up the board.
Speed 7, turn 1, I'm just running up the table.
Yeah.
Especially since the Infiltrators have stealth, so. I mean, they'll die to blast damage, but if your opponent doesn't have blast damage and just has pink shots, I'm safe to just run the table.
Yeah.
And shove my opponent out of the zone, because at Def 14, yeah, some of them are going to die, but not all of them.
Yeah.
So if I send,
you get your widget out, your blast widget, and just make sure you get your spacing right.
Yep.
And that's one thing that I really tell people a lot is when you know you're facing blast damage guns that can hurt you guys, get your widget out and measure that.
Actually, one thing that I'm going to start doing, especially in this list, is because blasts can drift, I'm actually going to be, instead of being like, okay, your biggest blast is 3-inch, instead of taking out the widget for small base and putting down the 3-inch marker and spreading them out, I'm going to move it up to the 4-inch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because those blasts can drift, and suddenly instead of getting just one model, they got 3. Meanwhile, if you separate them out to be like, eh, I'll separate them out to the 4-inch, they might not get the other.
Yeah.
They may only get 2 instead.
Anything you can mitigate your loss on the way up is always a good thing. And little things like that will help out.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got Tilt's list. And he's going to sit there and play it 3 to 5 games and test it out. Jonesy has some achievements to try and unlock. He's going to try and trample with Xerxes.
All the things.
And he's also going to get his cavalry rules down.
Yep.
Don't worry, we'll play a game and you'll be running into a bunch of small base models. Chances are you will to trample somewhere.
Yes.
Unless he floods an area where you have no landing zone. Which come on.
Don't ruin his dream.
Hey, you know, I've sat there and played trample enough that I know how sad it is when you get a good play that goes, okay, you can trample, but only to this spot over here that puts you in a really bad position.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, had it done to me before. It sucks, but it also feels great when you can do
it. Or, you know, that one lining spot is next to a nice, juicy target, but unless you get all of your initials and what you just spent and your focus or fury spent to kill it, yeah, you're not getting it.
Yeah, you just traded your beast away or your jack away. Hey, there you go. It's useless now. Great job. And then I am still continuing on to Grimkin painting, so that's my achievement first, is to get start getting models fully painted. I got 3 partially painted, but not fully painted. And then continue playing my circle. I got 2nd in this past OWC qualifier, so that's one of my goals, is to get qualified for the OWC.
Right now, I've put in 2/3 and 1/2 place. So as far as points, I'm thinking I'm good, but I just got to keep plugging at it.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So I'm going to be playing at the Springfield one, and hopefully Jonesy will join us and Jerry will join us. And then after that, the next one, it's probably the one I'm only going to be going to. I don't think anyone else in the group is going to go up there, is North Olmsted, which is right outside Cleveland.
Yeah.
That is a bad drive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 3-hour drive, but I'm thinking that...
Most of it on 71.
Yeah. Well, 71 has, like, nothing on it.
Trees. Has lots... All the trees ever.
Well, we'll see. I'm hoping that I can get through this qualifier and get qualified. But, again, we're going to have a Shark Tank again. But we're going to have some really good games.
Nope.
Because I know that... I believe Edge is going to play. I know that I'm playing. I know that Chuck Collins, when his crew are going to come up. And the Indian guys always give us tough games. So we're going to have all that going. So, and plus we've got Ben playing. So it's going to be a rough match, but I'm going to try and get to the top again.
I can go 0-1, drop, and cheer you guys on.
No, you're going to, if anything, you're going to go 0-3, 0-4, and continue playing and getting some reps with your bliss. Can't drop out like that, man.
Way to aim high for me there.
Well, if you're the one saying you're going to go 0-something, I'd rather you go 0-3 and 0-4 and get experience than 0-1 and take your ball home.
As someone who used to drop a lot from tournaments, don't be a dick. Just play your games.
I mean, it. Just getting to games is so important. Because, number one, you're in a controlled environment. Number two, you've got guys who are going to be able to help you out and figure out what you can do with your army to make it work better for you. One of the things is, I know Ben is testing 2 new scoring lists that he's trying out. I think we're going to have some... I know we're going to have a couple people up there who's got a lot of scoring experience. So you can pick their brains in between matches or during your own match where they can say, hey, you ought to try doing this, or you ought to try this model or this unit to help you out. Try and point you in a direction. Because it's their experiences and their time playing that you're going to really leverage on getting better on your own. Just like, you know, anything, like, you know, martial arts. I always sit there and look for the people who are better than me so I can learn from them and get better. You know, same thing with this. So, that's it. Anything else for this cast?
No. I think we covered our current goals right now.
Alrighty. So, another one in the can. So, this is Mike.
This is Jerry.
And Jonesy.
And we are out of here. Catch us again on the next episode.